Hey guys, thanks for tuning in. Hope you're having a great day. Sarah is here, but if you have not heard from past episodes, she is fighting a terrible sore throat, cold, something, and she basically can't talk. So she's here producing, and that's why you'll be hearing only from me in today's show with Tracy McMillan. And Tracy is a television writer, relationship expert, and author whose writing credits include Mad Men, Good Girls Revolt, Marvel's Runaways, and United States of Terra. She's written 3 books and a memoir, and she really rose to fame, I guess you could call it, in the relationship space when she had a viral blog, Why You're Not Married, and for more than 2 years, had an article on the Huffington Post under the same title, Why You're Not Married. That was the most viewed article in the history of Huffington Post. She's also the host of a show on the network OWN, Family or Fiancé. You'll hear her reference that. And we talk a little bit about that in today's show and dive into the impact of family dynamics on relationships. And we talk a lot about attachment theory, and Tracy shares her personal journey of dealing with her attachment history, and a lot of value there. And we really thank Tracy for getting personal, because I think it's always great to hear people's personal stories and know that you're not alone in struggling in your relationship, struggling with yourself. We're all dealing with different things. So thank you, Tracy, for that. And as always, we appreciate you guys tuning in, leaving us those 5-star reviews on iTunes to help us to grow the podcast, telling your friends and family. We really appreciate you guys. Enjoy today's show. Hey, Tracy, thanks so much for joining us on the show today.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So today we're going to talk about the impact of family dynamics on our relationships. And obviously this is a big one, and one that we all bring with us. We come from families, we get into relationships, and that plays a huge role in how we relate. So let's start by having you tell our listeners what one of the bigger things you see in people's relationships as it relates to their childhood and their origin family, and how that can impact their present day romantic relationships.
Well, the very first thing I think that happens is that our issues in our present day relationships usually originate in our families. So one of the things that's so amazing about Family or Fiancé is that we bring the cause and the effect into the same house. And anytime you get multi-generational, like it's like multi-generational therapy, essentially, where both sides benefit from bringing those two things into the same place for 3 days. Because invariably, whatever's going on with the parent, okay, so the thing about Family or Fiancé is there's really two different ways things happen. Sometimes there's a problem in the couple that the family sees that the couple's not dealing with. And sometimes there's a problem in the family or with one of the parents and one of the partners that needs to get resolved, right? So it can either be the problems in the family or the problems in the couple. Either way, this process of bringing families and couples together invariably surfaces whatever is going on. So a lot of times what people like to do is the way they get along in their families or in their partnerships is to just keep the beach ball underwater. That's how I put it. They just don't say what they really think. Whatever's the scariest thing they can say, they're not going to say it. They're not going to go to the heart of the matter. They're just going to pretend it's not happening. And that's how they're going to keep the peace. And instead, that doesn't really keep the peace. It keeps the suffering going. What I find on Family or Fiancé is that on day one, they say the worst thing that they've been trying not to say for however long they've been trying not to say it, whether it's the couple or the family. And once you get that out, you can start the healing process. It really is that the truth shall set you free.
It's cutting to the core. So can you share a specific example of that and kind of how people might be able to apply that to their own family dynamics and relationship?
You know, I'm so terrible with examples. I mean, I can tell you things that happen all the time on the show. Okay, here's an example. So there was a couple, and the man in the couple was parenting her children in a way, his stepchildren, her children, they weren't married yet, but still, her children in a way that the children were finding very unhelpful. Well, they blamed him, right? The kids blamed him. But what was really clear is that the mother was allowing this to happen. Well, cut to the way the mother was dealing with her own family, she felt abandoned by her own family. And I'm like, well, look what's happening. You felt abandoned by your family. Your kids feel abandoned by you. Do you see how this is working its way down the generations? So you're really looking for patterns like that. Like whatever you feel, a lot of times what your kids, which if you're the partnership, that would be you to your parents, right? If you're a mother and you're in a partnership, that would be you to your kids. Whatever the kid person feels, the parent people need to deal with and look for where that they might have felt the same way. Because what ends up happening is we have wounds, we pass the wound down. You get a deficit when you have a wound, and then you parent from that deficit, and then your children feel the same way you do. So basically what I'm describing is these multi-generations. So you've got the grandmother, the mother, and the children are all feeling the same thing, but they don't realize it. She did not realize she was doing the same thing to her kids, making them feel the exact same way she felt like her mother made her feel. Did not see that until she came on the show.
How can someone listening start to examine their family dynamics and how that might be playing a role in their current relationship or in the relationship with themselves?
Well, it's for sure playing a role in your current relationship. So the place you start looking. So a lot of times, the way I would describe some of this is that your life, and this is a lifelong process. This is not like, oh, we worked on that for 3 months and now we're done. Or we went to therapy for a year and now we're done. Because these things tend to present themselves over and over at different life stages. You know, they present one way in high school, one way in college, one way in young adulthood, one way when you reach your own parenthood, one way when your kids become teenagers, and so on. So life is an archaeological dig. And you start with a cup handle. You're like, wow, look at this cup handle. You start digging. After a while, you're like, oh my gosh, there's a whole city down here. So the cup handles are going to be feelings. Where do you have feelings that are very outsized to the thing that happened? That's where you're going to start looking. So if you get a supercharged reaction when your partner doesn't listen to you or doesn't respond to something, right? Or does a specific thing, right? And you get a big old reaction to that. You would start to look at, where did I used to feel this? When did I first feel this feeling? What is this related to? Because there's a saying, if I'm hysterical, it's historical. So that means when you have big feelings, it's going to always be pulling equity from some old thing in your life that was never resolved. Now, there's basically three kinds of people out there. There's securely attached people. Well, actually, there's two kinds. There's securely attached people whose parents met the vast majority of their needs and they move into adulthood with what's called secure attachment. They form stable bonds. They get married and stay married. Being close is fine for them. They're not like feeling engulfed or feeling anxious in their relationships. They feel good and solid. And they tend to also have securely attached children. So secure attachment isn't going to have these outsized reactions the same way insecurely attached people do. Insecurely attached people, there's two kinds. There's an anxious, and that is just what it sounds like. For them, relationships are fraught. They get in a lot of anxiety. They fear abandonment. They are preoccupied. They want to enmesh. these are the people that like are maybe clingy or needy. And they tend to partner up with the other kind of insecure, which is called avoidant. Avoidant is like, pretend, you know, they don't have any feelings. They're like fine with everything. They're just like, what? What problem? What feeling? What's the problem? Why are you crying? They're dismissing and avoidant of feelings. So when you have insecure attachment pattern, and these things are like, it's like a language you learn in the first 1 to 2 years of your life. And it comes from the way you were parented. No blame. We're not blaming anybody. These are also things that are passed down. And there's even some discussion of whether or not these are evolved, but that's a separate thing. So when you have insecure attachment, that is really going to impact the way you form bonds. It's not going to feel safe necessarily or secure to be in a relationship. You're either going to be fearing engulfment if you're an avoidant, or fearing abandonment if you're anxious. So you know if that's you, because this, I mean, if you're over the age of 25 or 30 and you've had more than one or two relationships, you've kind of probably got a sense of which one of these you are, whether you're secure, avoidant, or anxious, because it's going to show up every single time you form a bond with somebody, a strong one, like a partnership pair bond.
You said at the start here is that recognizing where the big feelings are on the archaeological dig can be so valuable. And I just immediately went to my personal experience. And yeah, that's why relationships are so valuable, is they bring out the big feelings. And then we could go, if we're inquiring and if we're open to growth, we can go, what's that all about? Because right. I shouldn't be so upset that my partner didn't take out the trash. It's not right. about taking out the trash. There's a lot more under there.
Mm-hmm. And it's almost always going to be about, are my needs going to be met? That's kind of the bottom line. Are you there for me? Are you going to meet my needs? And if you want to know what your needs are, start to look at the places where you feel fearful, or, you know, where you get those. Like if you're an avoidant, for example, you're not, if this isn't going to come to you as a need, I'm having a need. It's going to come to you as freezing, as perhaps a heart rate going faster, as perhaps a real strong urge to derogate something, to put it down, to be like, I don't need that, or I'm over this, you know, or some sort of strong pushing away energy. It's not going to come in as, I'm having a need.
Right, right.
It's way sneakier than that, way sneakier than that. But once you start to learn what your needs are, then that's when a relationship can get sort of sane, because you start figuring out what your needs are, and then you figure out what your partner's needs are, and they're doing that work too. And then you guys together, the partnership is about doing your needs and then meeting the other person's needs to whatever degree. And if you can't meet them precisely, then you negotiate.
Let's talk a little bit about that, because with insecurely attached people, it seems like the needs are a much more powerful thing in their lives. Often, mm-hmm. they're not even understanding that those are needs.
Right.
Like you said, elevated
exactly.
heart rate. And they might project their needs onto their partner. It's like, I need you to be this way so that I can feel
yeah.
okay. How can someone that's insecurely attached, and then on the other side, maybe their partner, how can they start to take ownership and say, hey, maybe this is something that I need to get for myself, and that it's not my partner's responsibility?
Well, I mean, certain forms of therapy, like PACT therapy, for example, is going to say your job is to meet your partner's needs. Now, that's fine. But then knowing yourself, right, it's kind of an interplay between saying, oh, so basically the minute you hear yourself saying, I need you to do blank, right, you know you're kind of, a red flag should go up for you, because when you identify your need, you just state it as your need, right? Like, oh, you know what I'm noticing? Rather than saying to your partner, I need you to talk to me, or I need you to communicate, right? You say, wow, I have a need to communicate. You know, when people talk about I statements, what they're really trying to, what the real goal of that is to understand yourself. Like, oh, this is my need to communicate. And then you go, oh, now is this because this must be communicated right now, or because I have this underlying thing here that always shows up and wants me to get my partner to do something?
Mm.
And you have to start to parse out, is this something they need to do right this second, or is this something I need to take a look at? So then you start to really look at your own stuff. Like, I don't know, I think this stuff is very difficult to talk about. And when I say talk about it, it's a little bit mysterious. It's a little bit like confounding. So I want to use an example from my own life. I have to think of one though. Because, okay, here's a good example. So I have a lot of abandonment because I was a foster child. Naturally, obviously, I'm afraid everyone's going to leave. So when I'm getting into a new relationship, for many years, my solution was just to be with people that were committing to me on day one. They'd be like, I'm going to be with you and only you. Well, that's not really what a healthy person or a secure functioning person is going to do. They're not going to be committing on day one. That doesn't make sense, because secure wants to be autonomous and free, and they're going to value their autonomy. They're not going to give it away that fast. That's kind of an insecure move. Only insecure people do that. So I wondered after some number of years why none of my relationships were working, even when I had this really big buy-in right from the very beginning. Well, I had to start to look at, maybe I don't need that buy-in. Maybe I'm asking for that buy-in from my wound. And if I really handled my wound, I could deal with more uncertainty. And in uncertainty would allow the other person to feel like they came into this relationship freely, of their own free will, as opposed to coming into it from a sense of duty or obligation, which is often how an avoidant enters a relationship, because avoidants don't want to want. Wanting is vulnerable and scary. They'd rather go, I had to. I was going to hurt her feelings if I didn't do it. Or I'm obligated to do something. Or an anxious is going to do it because they're afraid. Like, what if they go away? Well, any relationship begun with these sorts of underlying things is going to be unstable. It might be stable in the very beginning, but over time, it's like a wheel that is perfect circle. It's just going to start pulling in a certain direction. And, you know, 5 years down the line, you're going to be way off course. So this is a great example of how we might have tendencies that we set up our relationship according to our tendencies, and then we don't realize how we end up off track. And I needed to deal with my own, how was I going to self-regulate around uncertainty? As I got more skill in that and could tolerate more uncertainty, I stopped putting so much pressure on the partner to be a certain way, say certain things, commit a certain way. I didn't need that in the same way, if that makes sense.
Before we continue on, we want to tell you about today's sponsors. Today's episode is brought to you by Foria. We talk about it all the time on the show, but when you're in a long-term relationship, there are times when the spark is not always as fiery as it was in the beginning, and you need a little help to get you and your partner in the mood. And that is why you guys need to check out this new product I've been using that I love, called Awaken Arousal Oil by Foria. It's made with organic broad spectrum CBD and 9 plant-based aphrodisiacs that work with the body to enhance pleasure and arousal and ease discomfort. So let me tell you a little bit about Foria, because I'm loving them right now. Foria is an innovative health and sexual wellness company that designs all natural sexual intimacy products for women, people with vulvas, and people who love them. Foria believes sex and wellness go hand in hand, and so do I. As many of you guys know, Chase and I choose to live a very natural, organic lifestyle, from the food we eat to the products we put on our bodies. So why would we not have the same standards for our sexual wellness and pleasure products? If anything, we should have the highest standards. All of Floria's products are made with all-natural, 100% plant-based formulas that combine the benefits of broad-spectrum CBD from USDA, organic-certified and regeneratively grown hemp, and organic, sustainably grown plant extracts. The combination enhances and amplifies CBD's effects. Their formulas come in a variety of formulas to meet your needs, from topical oils for arousal, pleasure, and relief, daily tonics for balance and well-being, suppositories for localized benefits, and bath salts for in-the-moment relaxation. Floria is offering a special deal for our listeners. Get 20% off your first order by visiting FloriaWellness.com/IDO or use the code IDO at checkout. That's Floria, F-O-R-I-A, wellness.com/IDO for 20% off your first order. Like I said, I definitely recommend trying their Awaken Arousal Oil. Even if you're not in a relationship and you are just feeling a little down and need a little boost getting in touch with yourself, you will love it. You'll thank me later. Again, get 20% off your first order by visiting FloriaWellness.com/IDO.
Today's episode is brought to you by BetterHelp.
Nowadays, it is definitely okay to talk about our mental health and happiness. We are not meant to keep everything inside, and therapy truly helps. But what is therapy exactly? Well, it is whatever you want it to be. Maybe you're struggling in your relationship, or maybe you are super happy, but you want to be proactive in your relationship and look for some tools that might help you in the future. Or maybe you just feel overwhelmed with life and need someone to talk to. Whatever you need, don't be ashamed of normal human struggles and start feeling better today, because you deserve to feel happy.
And now you don't have to worry about finding an in-person therapist near you to help. BetterHelp is customized online therapy that offers video, phone, and even live chat sessions with your therapist. So you don't have to see anyone on camera if you don't want to. It's much more affordable than in-person therapy, and you can start communicating with your therapist in under 48 hours.
Join the millions of people who are seeing what therapy is really all about. This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp, and our listeners get 10% off their first month at BetterHelp.com/IDO. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/IDO.
Makes a lot of sense, and thank you for sharing that personal story. If you don't mind sharing, how did you work on that, on your issues?
Well, I'm going to say it was excruciating. Okay. Now, here's the thing, though. It wasn't excruciatingly painful. That's the difference between a good relationship where you're practicing new stuff, a safe relationship where you're practicing new stuff, and a dangerous relationship, right? It wasn't excruciatingly painful. It was excruciatingly discomfort. It was excruciating discomfort. Now, discomfort is not the end of the world, right? Like, an abusive relationship is painful. A relationship that's challenging you is uncomfortable. Difference. That's the difference. So while I'm sitting there having my new experience, which I would liken it to yoga, you know, relationships are like yoga. It's just like you're doing, you know, chaturanga like 100,000 times, not all day, every day. But I would say at least once a week, and actually probably more like once a day in the beginning. And even now, I will still get it. That's the thing. I don't think it's like language. You can't expect to never see those aspects of yourself ever again. It's like if you are French and you move to America, you're maybe going to have an accent for the rest of your life. You know, maybe you even get rid of most of the accent, but if you're stressed, you're going to start speaking French. Or if you might even dream in French at times. You know what I'm saying? So you don't erase the old you. You integrate those parts of yourself with the new parts of yourself. And little by little, you become comfortable or less uncomfortable more and more of the time. That's my experience, you know? And weirdly, all of the external, so for me with my abandonment issue, you know, all the external commitment did not ever really solve the internal thing. It didn't. Otherwise, I would be done by now, right?
Yep, yep.
But it obviously didn't work. Getting married didn't work because I got married 3 times and I still have this issue. What's resolving the issue for me is me resolving the issue. And hopefully, like, there's a lot of thought or research on that a secure functioning relationship can bring a person into more secure attachment pattern. It can. But up till very recently, I hadn't been in any kind of secure functioning relationship. I couldn't create that because I had this thing that I needed on day one. That no, that's not secure functioning. You know what I'm saying? To demand that on day one. Secure functioning is like, okay, this is going to take time and it's fine. You know, I feel like I'm so deep in it right now. It's like, I hope the listeners are not super confused because I guess here's the thing. You catch of this what you catch of it and then come back and listen to it in 2 months and then you'll catch more. You know, learning these things is a big old process. And like I said, it's life work. It's not like a day or a month or a workshop, although all those things can add up. But it's big work. It's really the work we're here to do, honestly. Partnership is what we're here for in many respects, because it's from that secure base that you go out and create in the world, you know?
Exactly. And you're exactly right. It's a process. It's so cliche, but it's not the destination, it's the journey, because there is no destination. Mm-hmm. In your personal experience and through your work, are there any particular resources or books on attachment and understanding our attachment style?
Oh, yeah.
That you can recommend?
So, here's what I love the Diane Poole Heller book, Diane Poole Heller. I forget what it's called. I'm just going to give you, I love the Stan Takin book, Wired for Love. I love Dr. Sue Johnson's work. Hold Me Tight. Those three books are going to be like, okay, got it. You know, that's a good beginning, you know, and then you can go deep. And there's a lot of research being done on this right now. You know, this is a whole area. Relationship science is really a new field in terms of really like quantifying what makes relationships work and what makes relationships fail. This is, you know, John Gottman's work is amazing. Read any book he's written. He's kind of the first, and now there are other people. Dr. Sue Johnson's doing research. There's a lot out there, but it's a pretty new area of study. Mostly people just, you know, talked to their best friend and did whatever their best friend said or whatever their mom said, you know, and it's like, it was all anecdotal.
Yeah, we love being able to have people like yourself to talk about this relationship science in past episodes because, yeah, it's really the most important work of our life is working on ourselves and doing that through the lens of relationships as well. And the more tools we can have, the better, because we're not born with these tools. We're still learning these tools as a species.
Yeah.
Right, exactly, as a species. And I was going to layer on top of that, not to mention we're getting things thrown in the gears like social media, dating apps.
Exactly.
That we definitely did not evolve with. So
yeah, the pill.
Yes. I mean, the more tools we have, the better. Tracy, thank you so much for sharing some of your personal story. And it's going to be really valuable for our listeners to apply to their own selves and their own relationships. Before we wrap up, can you tell our listeners where they can find you online? If you want to tell them a little bit about the new season of Family or Fiancé, and then we'll say goodbye.
Well, if you're interested in this stuff, you can follow me on @TracyMcMillan on Instagram and Facebook and Twitter. And of course, you can watch Family or Fiancé, which is, we deal with these kinds of issues every single week, Saturday nights on OWN at 10 o'clock Eastern and Pacific and 9 o'clock Central. Or you can stream it on Discovery Plus. So you can watch it anytime you want and catch up on the past season. To me, this is the most important thing you can do. It's the best work you can do. And it just, It has every single thing to do with the quality of your life, your relationships. So, and it affects every area, at work and family and all. It's all really the same thing, you know? And it starts with the relationship you're having with yourself.
Thank you so much, Tracy. The links to the show and to find you online will be in our show notes and on our website, idopodcast.com. And thanks for taking the time to come on the show.
All right. Thanks a lot. Take care.
As always, thank you guys so much for tuning into today's episode. As always, all the links to the guest as well as any of their recommendations will be in the show notes page. You can find the link to that in the episode description or by going to idopodcast.com. Click on the podcast tab up at the top and you will have access to all the episodes that we've ever done. There are over 300 of them. And while you're on our website, if you haven't checked out our free 14-day happy couple challenge, we really hope you do. It's a free email challenge that we send to you. It's 14 days of fun, easy, doable challenges to help strengthen and improve your relationship. And if you're looking for something that provides a little more help with working on your relationship, whether it's improving intimacy or communication with your partner, or just bringing the spark back, we would love for you guys to check out our online course, Spark My Relationship. We're offering $100 off to all of our listeners if you go to sparkmyrelationship.com/unlock. We've worked with over 15 psychologists and therapists to create the real life tools and strategies that they are teaching their clients. So we wanted to give them to you. It's a self-paced online course that can be done in as little as a month or up to 3 months. You can really decide how much or how little you want to do with your partner or maybe just yourself. So we hope you guys check that out. It's sparkmyrelationship.com/unlock. Have a great day.